This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
DA Shadow Minister of Public Works Samantha Graham and of course we have Matapelo Siwisa of the EFP, and of course Matapelo is an EFF MP, and so both of them would be MPs, I would assume. And so, yes, the next issue on the agenda at 9 minutes past 11 o'clock, can you believe it, people, is we unpack the much-debated expropriation of land bill, which was adopted by the National Assembly on Wednesday after 14 years of consultations and debates. Now, I have to read that so you understand that, because I was reading the newspaper the other day, and yes, this has ultimately, of course, happened, but there is so much in between the lines that as soon as you start clapping hands and as soon as you start, applauding whatever needs to be applauded, well, then you need to read between the lines, because so much of the detail will come out in the conversation we are about to be having. We unpack the much-debated expropriation of land bill, which was adopted by the National Assembly on Wednesday after 14 years of consultation and debates, taking it one step closer to becoming enacted in law. The bill, which was rejected last year, currently allows the expropriation of land only for public purposes and in the interest of the public, as stipulated in Section 25 of the Constitution. Let me bring both my guests into the conversation right now. Matapelo, welcome to Power 98.7. Welcome to Power Perspective.
Thank you, sir, and thanks for the invite.
Matapelo, well, tell me, Matapelo, based Johannesburg, based in Cape Town, based anywhere else, where would you be based?
Based in Cape Town at the present moment, but I'm originally from Kimberley, not from Cape.
Okay, so when Parliament's not sitting and when you do your constitution work, is it in Kimberley in the Northern Cape?
It's in Johannesburg.
Okay, it's in Johannesburg. Let's go to Samantha Graham. Is it Mare or Mare? Samantha?
Yes, Samantha Graham Marais.
Right. Okay, so Marais normally would have been spelled for me M-A-R-E-E, but this one would also have the little, the E, so it'll be yes. Marais, right?
Yes, correct.
Absolutely. So let's start with you, Samantha, since I've got you straight up on the conversation right now. Let's just start with what we understand when we say the expropriation of land bill, which was adopted by the National Assembly on Wednesday. Let's have an understanding of exactly that conversation. What does that mean?
Denzel, thank you so much for having me. I just want to correct you on something. It's not it's not the expropriation of land bill, it's the expropriation bill.
Yes, okay.
It's property as well,
absolutely.
That's correct.
So yes.
All property can be expropriated by the state under this bill. Now, everybody's sort of panicking, but this actually is repealing an existing act, which was promulgated in 1975.
Yeah.
So essentially, the purpose of this bill is to bring the Expropriation Act in line with the Constitution. Mm. And to do that, it needs to bring in the public interest concept. So where the old Expropriation Act allowed for expropriation in terms of public purpose, in other words, if the state wants to build a dam or build a hospital, they can expropriate property.
Mm.
This bill also allows for the public interest clause, which allows for land reform and restitution and redress. So that's essentially the purpose of the expropriation bill. But obviously, a lot of that has been caught up in the sort of excitement of no compensation and all the drama that surrounds that.
Yes.
So, and then again, it's been adopted by the National Assembly. It will now go to the National Council of Provinces. They take it to their provinces to get a mandate. They then return it to the National Assembly either with or without amendments. Mm-hmm. It gets voted on in the National Assembly again and then goes to the President for assenting. So that's the process that will unfold following the adoption last week.
Sure. Matapelo, we've been here before. And we've had, similar instances where, as Samantha says, people at this particular point getting quite excited and the conversations dealing particularly with the no compensation part of it. But there's a lot about, the bill that actually needs to be discussed and or is before us, in fact. How do you understand and where does the EFF stand on the expropriation bill at the moment?
Thank you to the presenter. I didn't catch your name correctly.
It's Denzel Taylor.
Okay, thank you, Denzel. Denzel, as the EFF, we are not supporting the expropriation bill.
Yes, I saw that.
And one of the reasons is the issue of possible compensation. As the EFF, as you can remember, back in 2014. We actually put in a motion for the amendment of Section 25 for expropriation without compensation, which is one of our cardinal pillar number one, where we say land must be expropriated without compensation for equal distribution and the state to be the custodian. But when we get to the bill, the bill speaks about possible compensation, which is something that we do not support as the EFF, because if we have to compensate, who are we compensating? How did they acquire that land? Mm. As we know the history of how the land was acquired and any other property within the boundaries of South Africa. So how do you start compensating someone knowing correctly so as to how the property or the land was acquired in the first place? So we all know how the land was acquired. And we are fully aware why people were moved from where they were moved, and then they were left with unusable land where they cannot farm, they cannot graze their cattle. So as the EFF, we can't be supporting such a bill.
So what are the issues apart from possible compensation that stands in the way? What is it that you would have rather preferred to have seen in the bill that would have made the EFF happier? Because of course there was at some point an engagement last year, I think, if I'm correct, or it could have been the year before, but I think it was last year, where there was in essence a kind of conversation between the ANC and the EFF around exactly, the issue of land and compensation and, expropriation. So what is it exactly that you see, apart from possible compensation? How would you drastically want to see it differ from its present state?
The only thing that needs to be, the issue that we have as the EFF is the compensating part, because if you go down, to the clause, what are the rules and regulations, what needs to be done, what are the terms and conditions for somebody to be compensated or not compensated. Yes, I still remember the issue that we are talking about, because we wanted the ANC to come on board to support us with the amendment of Section 25. Because if the amendment of Section 25 was according to the way the EFF wanted it to be, then I don't think that the bill would have seen the day of light. And that's one of the issues that we've always spoke about in Parliament, to say this bill shouldn't have been introduced. Mm. It should have just been packed until we deal with the Section 25. But what we found ourselves at is that immediately after the motion, then they came to repeal the Expropriation Act of 1975, which is not doing any justice to any person or South African who has been dispossessed of the land illegally so in the apartheid era. So as the EFF, if the bill was speaking about nil compensation, period, then we would have agreed. But the idea of possible compensation is where our problem is. Why should we pay somebody for something that we all know that is taken illegally? So,
Samantha, and I'm going to come to you, Samantha, in a second. I want to just finish this train of thought with Matapelo. Matapelo, the issue then of compensation, and that's where the EFF finds its sticky component. And you talk about, in essence, when you talk about land also, you also talk about, and your broad, you know, broad understanding of it is in essence inclusive of land, property, and inclusive of everything. When you get to the possibility that the compensation part might not stand up either, you know, in a constitutional court process, and or, you know, if people took it on review and found within a court of law that it wouldn't stand up against that, what would your opinion be about that? Because obviously, and I'm just thinking ahead, that if it had gone through with the terminology you're using, I would see queues in front of a court immediately the next day, and I would also see, you know, potential, you know, constitutional court processes beginning to happen. What is your view then on those particular aspects of the wording?
The same thing that you are raising now, Denzel, of courts and people going to court. If you go through the bill, it also speaks about if a person doesn't want their land to be expropriated, or they do not agree on the amount, then the expropriating authority is coming with. Then they can go to court. There are a certain number of days that they have to wait for all the procedures to happen. So whether it's now or it's nil compensation or it's possible compensation, we are going to be faced with the issue of people going to court and fighting for what they think is rightfully theirs. And we all know that it's not rightfully theirs. Because when you go through the bill and you actually go to all the clause, or in general, if we can summarize the bill, they speak about how the land was acquired or how the property was acquired. And then they speak about if the person is not happy, then they must go to court. But now it's going to delay what needs to happen. It's going to delay, but if a legislation or a bill was passed to say, we are passing this thing, everything must come to the state, then it's not going to lay for infrastructure to be delivered, clinics, because right now we have a problem of if a school needs to be built, there is no land, there's only 18%, and the whole 72% is in private ownership. But if the whole 100% of South Africa, including the land and the property, we've got a lot of buildings that are being rented out to private owners. If all of those things can be brought under the custodian of the state, then we are not going to have a problem whereby we need, if we want to build a school today, then we'll have to go and look and negotiate with people to say we need this land. They talk about unused and unproductive land. Who wants unused or unproductive land? That is where we find our people building houses or sheds on land that is not conducive for them to stay there. Then they end up being exposed to floods, as we've recently seen in KZN and Eastern Cape and in the Northwest. So if the state has all of this land, all of these properties, 100% of it, we know it's there. You go to Eastern Cape, you want to build a school, you just go there, you put out a tender, because even the tender issue is a topic for another day. You put out a tender, and then the school is built. Unlike to go into negotiations to say we need this land, people need to be moved and all of those things. So whether we say compensated or not compensated, we know people are going to fight for what is theirs, which we all know is not actually rightfully theirs. So it's either way, people are going to end up in court. But if we know that there's a bill that binds everyone to say, look here, this, all of this land belongs to the state, then we know that Constitutional Court is going to look at the bill, and then they are going to look, because if it's passed, it's passed. You can go and make your arguments, but the legislation is there. We all have to abide by it.
Samantha, a lot said there. And before I begin to even ask you a question, I'm just going to let you raise a few thoughts on what has been said.
Thanks so much, Denzel. I think my initial response is that the initial premise or the starting premise from which Matapelo speaks or the EFF speaks is that all private land is in the hands of white people who unlawfully acquired the land through whatever. You know, the illegitimacy of the past and apartheid. And that's not true. There are a number of people in this country who have got title deeds who are not white people. There are black people who are landowners. There are black people who are property owners. So to come from the statement where all land should be taken from everybody, I find is an absolute attack on private property rights, because at the end of the day, what people want is they want to own something. They want to be title deed holders. They want to have somewhere to grow their crops or feed their cattle or just have a house where they can raise their children, against which they can take loans and they can develop buildings and properties and businesses. So at the end of the day, to look at custodianship, state custodianship of land, I think is an absolute recipe for disaster and failure in this country. The government isn't exactly wrapping itself in glory in terms of the way it's managing state resources currently. So now to take all property out of private ownership and put that into the custodianship of the land is to me... just not even something that is possible.
Do you think it's not possible, or do you think it's not workable? In essence, there's a, you know, I mean, when you listen to the argument and you want to begin to engage the argument would say, you know, the land should revert back to if I'm going to play devil's advocate here with you, Samantha. The land should revert back to the state. The state then would take acknowledgement of who had land and who owned private property, and those would be registered, and you would be able to administer that. Now, I understand, you know, all the other issues that say foreign investment won't come, and also, one would argue then, of course, you know, I paid for my particular property. In a broad general way, are you ruling out the total possibility of it, or are you suggesting that it just won't work? It can't work. That logistically, it can't work.
No, absolutely. We've seen that wherever there's been wholesale expropriation of property by the state, that there's been an absolute collapse of the economy. Venezuela and Zimbabwe are both prime examples of that. At the end of the day, people need to have something to invest in. People need to have something that they own. I think if you went to people that had waited years and years and years for their title deeds and told them that the state was now going to take back the property that they have waited so long to own, whether it's a small house somewhere or whether it's a farm that they're farming, I think people would be absolutely devastated, irrespective of where they got that property from. So I think that to me, it would be a complete abuse of power, and it would then obviously skew the balance of rights very heavily in favor of the state, because the state could then dictate to you where you live, how you use your property, what kind of house you live in, and we would be going right back to forced removals and the old apartheid regime where people would be told where they can and can't live. So for me, you know, at the end of the day, I think it would be it's a preposterous idea.
So let's get back to the bill in its present state. So of course you're also suggesting that you're totally up against the bill. What in the bill would you potentially agree with? Is the fact that, you know, when the bill starts talking about public purpose and public interest, that, you know, for the expropriation of land, and it wouldn't willy-nilly be talking about private property per se, because in essence there's been a lot of reportage as well that says before you get angry, before you start, you know, beginning to take out your passports and beginning to want to leave the country, hold on a little bit. You know, the bill is very specific in what it wants to do. And Matapelo says, what would the value be to secure unused or unproductive land? So where with this particular bill, Do you see yourself agreeing or in total disagreement?
So, Denzel, I actually proposed two amendments to the bill on Wednesday before it was adopted. Mm. So those two amendments, the one was to the definition of expropriation. So our feeling is that currently the definition allows for direct expropriation. In other words, the state comes to you and says, I want to take your property, and transfer of ownership will take place, and we will discuss compensation. Mm. What we wanted to include in that was indirect expropriation. So that includes things like custodianship, and regulatory takings. In other words, there's a bill just before Parliament, before the Portfolio Committee on Forestry, Fisheries and Environment, that speaks to conservation areas. So the government could come in onto your property and say, we found some weird little frog, and we've decided that we want to create a conservation area around that. And so that's going to happen, and you lose the use and enjoyment of your property, but there's no transfer of ownership. So by bringing in indirect expropriation into the definition of expropriation, we would then bring in a compensation aspect, because currently neither custodianship or regulatory takings allow for a compensation to be paid to the owner of the property. So that's the first real sticking point we have. Then the other one, obviously, is Section 12.3, which is the expropriation for no compensation. Mm. Our amendment said that's fine. We've got we understand the need to not pay compensation, but our belief is that it should only apply to land that is owned by the state, where either it's not being used for the purpose it was originally intended for, or where it has previously been expropriated and compensation has been paid. Our feeling is that at no point should you actually stipulate to no compensation for private property. It puts a private property owner in a very, very weak position against the state, because in terms of the law, it says that if you don't agree on compensation, you can go to court. But an average person doesn't have the means and resources to take the state to court. So they're in a very, very weakened position when it comes to the negotiation, where the starting point is no compensation. So for that purpose, we don't believe that no compensation should be offered in terms of private property. We also feel that the current no compensation clause, that Section 12.3, is verbatim what was debated in the ad hoc committee last year on that Section 25 amendment, and it didn't pass in Parliament. So as a result, our belief is that this is no longer constitutionally sound, and it actually renders the bill unconstitutional, because what it does is it takes the negotiation away from agreement and from the judiciary as stipulated in Section 25. So those are our two big sticking points. And we also do believe that people who have mortgages on their properties are in a slightly weakened position to banks. And there is a very real concern around whether or not the mortgage will be covered in terms of the compensation. So there are a couple of areas, but in the main, we are supportive of the reason for the expropriation bill, as long as it's not turned into a land reform instrument. The purpose of this bill is not land reform. That's just one aspect of what the bill can be used for, but it is not a land reform mechanism. There are land reform instruments that can be used, and I think there's been a conflation of issues around this bill, and that's what's creating the hype and hysteria.
Sure. President Cyril Ramaphosa says that private property is not the target. Also, existing property owners can be rest assured that their property will remain theirs. I mean, this is coming out of the news reports soon after. And amongst others, the lack of clarity among, the land reform, that has been in play for quite a while now in the conversation. So, lack of clarity, President Cyril Ramaphosa saying both of those two issues that I have raised. President Cyril Ramaphosa says that privately owned land is not the target. Government is looking at unused land, derelict buildings, purely speculative land holdings, and abandoned inner city buildings, amongst others. So those guarantees are not enough.
No, absolutely. And not only that, those are not stipulated to in the bill. So it doesn't help to be saying, well, this is what our feeling is. At the end of the day, you don't legislate for the best government. You legislate for the worst. So if some sort of left-wing organization suddenly came into power tomorrow and started using this bill in its current form, we would see forced removals. We would see the taking of property like what happened in apartheid, because they have the tools and mechanisms in this bill to do that. So, yes, the government can say, well, you know, we're not going to be doing that and everybody needs to calm down. But what President Ramaphosa is saying is not what is in the bill. And the bill provides five instances where no compensation can be paid. And while I don't believe the government's going to be rushing out and expropriating property all over the place, what it does do is it creates mechanisms for people to force the government's hands. So where it says that land that has been abandoned and where the owner has lost effective control, irrespective of whether or not they have title deeds on that property then can then be taken for no compensation. That, to me, is a trigger point for people to then go and occupy, unlawfully occupy properties, create a settlement, demand services, and suddenly the government is now being forced to expropriate that property and the owner's being forced to accept no compensation on the basis of having lost effective control of their property. So it's not necessarily that the government is going to abuse the instances of no compensation, but that its hand might be forced, because there's this expectation that has been created that once this bill passes, there will be wholesale expropriation of land without compensation and everybody's going to get a piece. Sure. So that's the concern at this stage.
Matapelo, I'm going to come to you next. I just need to go to Victor in Bedford View. Victor?
Yes, thanks again, Mr. Benzel. I want to ask the EFF lady.
Yeah.
I'm confused, but I just want her to educate me here.
Sure, sure. Victor? Victor, start again. Victor, you wanted to be educated, Victor, and then your line broke up? Oh, Victor, we're going to try to get you. Let me ask Tumelo to get you on a proper line, Victor. I do want to hear your question. Let me go to Matapelo while we try to fix Victor's line. Matapelo, so much said then in the last, before I came back to you, the last time around. Do you have any comments on any of the issues that are beginning to be raised at this particular point? Also, I did raise the issues of the president coming to the fore and beginning to, you know, make his statements around, you know, the particular bill known. Also, Patricia DeLille in her statements saying the plan is really to strengthen the property rights of all South Africans, whether they own property or not, and to make land accessible to those who work it. You're not convinced by Patricia DeLille either, are you?
No, I'm not convinced by both of them, both the president and the Minister of Public Works, because this is a clear statement that here is a bill that is just on paper, but even what they are saying there, is it really going to happen? Because it seems as if they are not ready to expropriate any land. And if the president says it's going to be hands off from private land, and you find that 72% of the land is actually privately owned, so which land are they saying they are going to expropriate, whether with compensation or without compensation? Because unused, if you say unused land, it means that land belongs to someone else. But again, which South African wants unused land? Because it simply means that person is either knows that the land is unused or unproductive land. And I want to touch on, because my colleague spoke about title deeds, that other people have title deeds. My understanding of a title deed is that, this is my understanding. Mm-hmm. Title deed, you have a title deed which you can produce to a bank as a surety to say that if I do not pay you back your half a million that you've borrowed me to start a business, then you have the right to come and take my property, which means that, again, people are going to be left without any property or without land. That's my problem with the title deed. It's good to have a title deed, but the title deed has its own disadvantages. But if the land belongs to the state and the state is the custodian, then it means that everybody is going to have equal benefiting from the state. My colleague also spoke about the issue of Zimbabwe. When we say that we want the custodian to be the state to be the custodian. We have a full plan as to what's going to happen. Because we can't just say that the state must be the custodian and then we don't have a plan as to what is going to happen. A lot of people need land for farming, for industrial sites, to start businesses. You find young girls, I'm going to make an example of young girls, who would be on the streets or sitting at home, does not have property where they can open a mere saloon just to braid hairs or to relax hairs or to perm or to do whatever they do. A mere small business like a salon. They struggle to get such. They end up renting somewhere, which means that they are actually working for somebody else. So whatever 500 rents that they get at the end of the month, then they have to look for another 250 and pay somebody's shack or building that they are using. Those are some of the problems that we are having about this bill. And the issue of the title deed, that's my issue about the title deed. You produce it, okay. Mata Pelosi says got such and such and such property. The property, the value is up to 1.5. So we can give Matapelo 1.5 or 2 million. Mm-hmm. And then if Matapelo doesn't pay back, it means that this is a surety that we can take your property. That's my problem with the title deed.
Matapelo, let me ask a very absolute, simplistic question. In the sense of let's suggest Matapelo did buy a property, and so you had some form of title deed, right? In essence, that you could produce as that in essence that you did have a form of property, even though you know the land or the property might still belong to the bank. You are paying it off, and in essence, you do one day hope that it's going to be yours. So, in essence, that is what so many property owners are doing at the point they see a for sale sign. They engage in all sorts of, you know, legal entities. Eventually they buy the house. The bank, of course, owns that particular property until you have paid it off. Now, in some instances, some people will have paid it off, and in some instances, some people are somewhere in between paying it off. Now, let's suggest Matapelo is bought a 4 million rand property and you've got 1 million rand left to pay on that particular property. You've paid 3 million rand back to the bank already. And you have the means, and you have the means to pay back that million rand as well. People would begin to say to Matapelo, why would you suggest that, you know, the state comes in and basically takes the property that you have invested so much already? And now with 1 million rand to go, you're willing to hand that particular property back to the state so that you then become a renter of some sort, you know, some form of you know, I don't want to say, you know, I don't know what the word is at this point, but you would have some form of land from the government that would be now yours, but it wouldn't really be yours, whereas you could have owned the land, and in your instance you've already paid 3 million rand back. You just need to pay 1 million rand back, and you are capable of doing it. What do you say to somebody who has already paid their land off, their property off, and owns it, and it's no longer in the hands of the bank, and has paid between, let's say, even if it's somebody who paid 800,000 rand to somebody who paid 10 million rand for their property? What do you say to that person with an argument where you begin to say, let's give the land back to the state and the land will decide how and when and for how long we own it?
Again, Denzel, it goes back to whoever sold me the property, how did they acquire that property?
But they would have acquired it through buying it as well. So for the last 50 years, for example, let's say property would have exchanged so many times. So, you know, the house that I live in, I've been living there for 10 years, but I officially would have had bought it from a particular person who would have bought it from a particular person. And this is private property I'm talking about now. So in that particular instance, when do we begin to start saying, but in this particular instance, it was wrongly acquired? Because where do I start?
You know, Denzel, when we were doing public hearings and you'd hear of people saying that This Matapelo Siwisa is staying on my land, and Matapelo Siwisa is busy selling off bits and pieces of my land, which belong to my great-grandfathers. This land, we've got proof that this land belonged to us, and our great-grandfathers used to stay on this land, but nowadays Matapelo Siwisa has taken over the land. Matapelo Siwisa has sold the land to Samantha Murray, and you understand, the issue is, how was the land, even if you should find that Matapelo has been on the property or on the land or has been owning this property for the past 50 years, the question goes back to how did Matapelo acquire for her to be able to be able to sell to Denzel, to be able to sell to Samantha? How did this property actually came into the hands of Matapelo? We can't just be focusing on the present owner, but those that have been dispossessed by the by the apartheid regime, those that have lost the land or property in the apartheid era, what are we saying about those people? Because some of them, since they've, I didn't want to get into the land claims issue, but some of them, they will tell you that we've put in land claims, we've never been assisted, we are still running around, we are being sent from pillar to post. This is happening in our property. This is what's happening. People, our property is being sold off bits and pieces. So in that instance, it would only be wise that everything comes under one roof.
So are you making a distinction? Are you making a distinction between land that is, you know, up for which is being contested, and private property where people would have acquired property over time from one owner to the other? And of course, that generational mix would be, you know, as soon as somebody acquires the land and they want to sell it. And I'm talking about private property. Are you making a distinction between land that, of course, land claims are on, but what particularly happens to private property in the scenario of what you're talking about? Because somebody who's in the private property perspective might listen to a land claim, you know, conversation and actually agree with you totally. And actually agree with you and say, you know what, Matapelo, I agree with you there. If they cannot argue and suggest how they would have got their land, and if the land was illegally acquired, and if there were, you know, issues of a land claim on a particular piece of land, you know, they would engage that conversation and they might actually agree with you. Where private property is concerned, how do you distinguish that differently from land that is, you know, under a land claim scenario?
That is why I said I didn't want to get into the issue of the land claims. But I was just trying to show you an example to say there are people that have put in claims. To say that we've put in claims, we've got proof that our land was taken illegally. So we've got proof, we've got documents, but we are not being assisted. Rather, what we are saying is that the same property that we are talking about, or the same land, or the same buildings that we are talking about, is being sold off bits and pieces to other people. So what I'm saying now is that if everything, all the property, buildings, land, it comes under one roof.
The entire South Africa belongs to the state.
Exactly. The entire South Africa belongs to the state. So that each and every person needs to get an equal distribution, because so that everybody can benefit from this land. Not only a certain particular 72% that is, because if you look, that's what I'm saying, 72% of the property is in private ownership, whether black or white or colored or Indian, it's in private ownership, right? And how did these people end up having 72% of ownership of into privatization? And then only 12%, we say that it belongs to the state. So from the 72% already, that 72%, There are already people that say that plot 125 in Jacobsdal belonged to my great-great-great-great-great-grandfather. But that land now, we see that Matapelo is there, Matapelo is busy farming, Matapelo is busy doing whatever, whatever. So our claims are not being listened to. So even if we can get the whole state to be the custodian, all of these lands, all of this property under one roof, then I don't think that there's going to be a problem, because everybody will be able to be given a piece of land to say, oh, you want to graze cattle, here's a piece of land. You want to plant carrots, here's a piece of land. You want to plant potatoes, here's a piece of land. Everybody is going to benefit in whatever that they want to do. You want to start a welding company, you want a land where you can build your factory, here's the land. You understand?
Sure.
So, Okay.
Matapelo, let's go to the lines. I want to go to Tahir in Deep Kloof, Soweto. Tahir?
Greetings.
Hey, so, Chief, how are you?
No, I'm fine.
Sure, man.
But my contribution is not based on what the commissar is saying, the Matapelo.
Yeah.
It's based on the issue of the title deeds.
You sure?
Because where I'm standing now, it's Soweto in particular. We don't have 100% ownership of these properties or land that is there.
Mm.
Because when you go deeper to the same document, which is called the title deed, it stipulates there that a particular private-owned mine got 75 or 80% ownership. It means at any given time, they can take a position to sell that whatever land that belongs to us to a private sector. So the issue of the title deed, it is something that needs to be reviewed, because if it doesn't say we are owners of a particular trainer property or land, it says we are the leaseholders. So I'm giving this question to Matapelo, for they must go and review the title deed that we have as Soweto, because if it doesn't give us 100% entitlement of ownership.
Sure. Tahir in Soweto. Let's go to Marwale. Marwale in Durban?
Yes, Mr. Taylor. How are you?
I'm good, Chief. How are you?
I'm fine. I just want to talk on the expropriation bill, especially on the land part.
Yeah?
Yeah, I think this is just more of socialism versus capitalism issues. Because, the land should not be owned by anyone. It is managed by the state, because the state was elected by the people. It's the same way that the communal land is not owned by anyone, but it's under, it's managed or admin
by a trust of some sort, yeah.
Yes, so that you can benefit from the land. You know, okay, this site we are building a mall. This site is a residential area. This site is an industrial area. But now you have someone who hogs the land, and people now need a place for cows to graze. He has put a fence. Only his cows now can graze there. Everyone else doesn't have a place to graze. So the land should be used for the benefit of the community, not to be owned by someone who just gonna hog it and not use it.
Marwale, let's leave it there. I need to go to Lennox in Sasselburg. Lennox in Sasselburg, how are you?
Evening, Denzel, and to your guest.
I'm good, man.
Now, I'm feeling well that you're talking about this subject after a long time. Thank you very much. I have, you know, this picture, Denzel, and to your guest, that we have South Africa as a landmass of about 120 odd million hectares, and about 100 of that is farmland. And the lady from the EFF is talking about 72% of private ownership.
Is in private ownership, yeah.
That's correct. But now, of that 72%, 67% is white. Now, the Restitution Act was put in place in order to make sure that, there's reasonability in terms of, reflecting demographics of South Africa and that sort of thing, But in the opinion of the DA lady, shadow minister, whatever.
Samantha.
Yeah, Samantha, thank you. If it took government to only acquire 2.8 million hectares of the 100 million hectares, it would mean to say we're going to take more than 900 years, actually, to get to a point where we can say, okay, in terms of equal land distribution, we are even. Mm-hmm. But then when she is saying that it should not attach the no compensation rhetoric, does she at the same time go on to say that we must keep on rewarding the apartheid legacy?
Mm.
Because that's how it strikes me. Government currently only has less than 12% actually of land that it can distribute in whatever form that it wants to. And so I'd like it if the shadow lady can just help us with that. Thank you.
Sure. Lennox in Sasselburg. Samantha, well, you can answer the question specifically, Samantha.
Yeah. Okay. So at the end of the day, again, we're not opposing the idea of restitution or redistribution of land.
Mm.
What we are opposing is the fact that this expropriation bill is not the answer to that.
Mm.
It hasn't been designed for that. It's just one of the mechanisms.
Sure. Yeah.
And again, you know, the land claims has collapsed completely. Every single year, the budget for land restitution has been diminished. The failures when we did, Matapelo spoke about when we did public hearings last year. We traveled to 36 different towns last year to do public hearings. The number of issues that arose around land claims that were either being mismanaged, the corruption, the failures of the CPAs. So at the end of the day, it's not just a land distribution problem. It's also a land administration problem, and it's also a government problem. So this expropriation bill is not going to resolve that.
Mm.
And by bringing in a null compensation and scaring everybody to death, all you're doing is creating this whole animosity amongst people, which is completely unnecessary. The purpose of the expropriation bill is not to fix the land redistribution. The purpose is to allow government to do its business. What we have to do is put pressure on government to make sure that the land claims process is properly administered, that the corruption is taken out of the CPAs, that land is given to the correct beneficiaries, and that we as a country, we work harder towards social cohesion and making sure that people are getting what they deserve. I certainly, and the DA certainly, does not believe in rewarding people for apartheid. But at the end of the day, it's not the answer to go and take property. I bought my house 2 years ago. Now, and like you say, Denzel, you own your property. The answer is not for the government to come now and take your property and go and give it to somebody else. That's not the answer to the land issue. So we have to be very careful not to conflate the issues around what expropriation is about and what land reform is about, and not combine the two into one golden bullet or silver bullet that's going to solve the land crisis.
Let me ask you this before I go to Matapelo. You did say no longer constitutionally sound, and when you spoke about the expropriation bill in its present format, you said it's no longer constitutionally sound. Does that mean that already you would be looking at avenues whereby you would begin to challenge or legally begin to look at this expropriation bill and look at where challengeable it is?
Yeah, look, I mean, at the end of the day, as I said to you at the beginning of the show, there's still a long process that needs to
of
be
course.
Followed.
Mm.
And potentially the president might even deem that this is unconstitutional. And we're hoping that he will agree with our viewpoint on that. But yes, at this point, we do believe that Section 12.3 does not speak anymore to Section 25. So I agree with Matapelo when she says that this bill was premature. They should have dealt with Section 25 alone, that whole amendment story, because, again, they confused the two issues, and that's created a lot of the sort of hype around this bill. When Section 25 failed, to take that entire wording of that clause and now try and put it into ordinary legislation, remember, a constitutional amendment requires 66% or two-thirds majority.
Mm. Mm.
Ordinary legislation requires a simple majority, and we're taking exactly the same clause
that failed to pass as a constitutional amendment, and we're now trying to pass that through ordinary legislation through the back door. So that is our concern in terms of the constitutionality of this bill currently.
Let me go to Matapelo. Matapelo, you've got the last word.
Yes, Denzel. My last word would be, in one of the public hearings, some of the people are talking about scaring away investors and food security and all of those things. And I think Sam also touched on the issue of investments and everything. Mm. So if somebody says that food security is going to be disturbed or is going to be unstable, and we all know that before the invasion in 1865, before the invasions, Africans used to work their own land. They used to produce their own food. They used to graze their own cattle. They worked the land. Even today, they still work the land. They still work the land. So there's nothing that is scary or people need to be afraid of to say investors and are going to go away, is going to hamper what the process of food security. There's nothing like that. Because I don't know, if we speak about investors, are we talking about people who've got millions? Or are we talking about a group of people that can come together and invest in something? So if investors are going to go, there need to be a difference as to who do we call an investor. An investor is someone who puts in money. If you've got the means to put in money, investors should not be labeled as people who've got millions or billions or trillions, or they are successful in something. Investors, we can be 10 ladies and we decide that we want to open a sewing company. We can invest ourselves. We can invest in that. I'm just making a typical example. We can invest in that. So people shouldn't be scared about investors going. We've got a lot of people that are willing to invest in whatever that we want to do. As South Africans, we can also deal with the food security issue. So the expropriation bill is not, if it was going to go the way the EFF wants it to go, then I don't think we would be having issues of investors and food security in South Africa. Thank you.
Matapelo, thank you. You said it. Thank you. Thank you for joining Power Perspective tonight. Thank you for joining Power 98.7.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Samantha, thank you so much for making time. And of course, you say that, you know, it's got a long way to go still. So we'll be watching, of course, what, you know, and how it goes. But of course, we haven't had the end of this debate. So thank you also for joining me here on Power Perspective tonight.
I really enjoyed it, Denzel. Thank you very much for having me.
That's Graham. Samantha Graham-Marie, DA Shadow Minister of Public Works as well.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.